Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon. You have tuned into Radiance by Design here on wonderful BBS Radio, your online center for all kinds of, consciousness, waves of consciousness coming through BBS Radio are amazing. So a lot of you and all over the world are really experiencing a higher level of consciousness because of what we're talking about. And that's not talking about just me. It's talking about all the different shows that are on this wonderful, wonderful station with these crazy guys. Right, Don? Okay, so this is Veronica Entwistle. I'm an intuitive and energy counselor. My big dream, my passion, the greatest drive that I have in my life is to transform myself, And as I do so, to share with other people. I see things, hear things, smell things. Enjoy a lot of life. And I like to help people discover their purpose, their soul journey, and how to expand its flow into their lives. I get so excited about it. And this show today is supposed to be about loneliness. And of course, if you ever listen to Radiance by Design, you know we wander quite a bit, so that's okay too. We're going to talk about the structures, how to go in there and create and design healing for yourself and for others, to design your manifestation, to calm and soothe your body, mind, emotional self, and also to create structures of protection around you. There's so much chaos out there. And many of us have learned for many years that if you can raise your frequency, keep raising your frequency and raising your frequency, you can change your reality and you can change the reality all around you. And this is not a mystery. People in New Thought metaphysics have known this for a long, long time. Christian Science has taught this that I know of because I studied them for a while. And I know that unity and all these different earth tomes and science of mind people, all kinds of leaders in New Thought have taught us to use your mind in order to create your reality. And we also have learned that using your mind and your heart, your emotions will create your reality better. And these structures that my guides have taught me are sacred geometric structures, which are forms that are actually building blocks for reality, which is a little bit hard for me to explain because I'm not sure I can really cognitively understand that. I just know that structures work as a meditation tool, as a healing tool, and as a wonderful place to go when you need to, recreate yourself. Touch the inner part of your nature, which brings me back to our topic, which is loneliness. And in loneliness, there are so many levels of self. I don't know how you experience loneliness, and I hope that you're going to be calling in today, and we're going to talk about, for example, if you call in about being lonely about a specific situation, we can usually see where it hooks into your soul journey and what it is you're trying to learn in this life and why loneliness is so crushing for you. I personally was very, very lonely as a little wee child. My mother said that was some of the first words I spoke. I spoke before I walked. I didn't walk early either, so I wasn't that big a prodigy. But I used to tell her all the time I was lonely. And deep down in my soul, deep down in my psyche, there is a huge drive for what I mentioned earlier, transcendence or transformation. It's tremendously deep in me. And my understanding of loneliness is that when I'm feeling really lonely, I'm not touching that drive in me that has to be met. It's like some of us are, my partner's an inventor. A lot of us metaphysicians are people that I know that are artists, healers, dimensional explorers, and so on. I would wager a guess that if they actually admitted that they were lonely ever, it would be about finding an ache for that drive that they have to answer. They have to answer the ache, the call of the wild, call of the soul, in order to appease or answer that drive deep within. And Bob and I were talking before the show, and he was reminding me how many of us come to this planet and feel like God kind of cast us aside because all of a sudden, here we are. It's uncomfortable. We're coming out of the womb. It hurts like mad. You land, plop, in the middle of, many of us land in the middle of our parents' confusion without anybody there to break it apart. You know, we're supposed to find our way. We're supposed to struggle blindly so that we can get somewhere and prove ourselves and be what the society would call a success. And what does that mean? It means you got some money and you look good. You got the right duds on and you're living in the right kind of house and so on. And for a lot of us who have another kind of drive deep down inside, that kind of looks a bit crazy because many people who are, in quotes, successful will radiate back an unhappiness or a huge gap between their presentation and what they truly feel inside. I remember being very distressed about that as a little wee girl, and I've talked to a lot of people, because now I'm 100 years old, right? I've talked to a lot of people through the years who had a similar experience, that they felt like they could barely digest reality the way it was being presented to them. So there's a really inherent loneliness that's probably massive in our societies all over the world, probably, when people come plopping in and think God's deserted them and this world is rather cuckoo and driving towards success is something that you can barely figure out. Now, a lot of people got that success. They made their success. They got their houses. They had several houses and so on, and a lot of that just collapsed. There's another kind of loneliness when you have had the identity of success, for example. You've appeared to be successful. You kind of give yourself the points and say, wow, I've really done it. I've made it. I've got my house. I got my retirement. I got my great car. I've got my BMW or whatever it is that you're supposed to have. I got the gold watch at the job and so on. And all of a sudden, ba-doing, everything falls apart. Now, it should have fallen apart. We know cosmically that it's really the end of a 24,000 year cycle, and there's a whole lot of other astrological ends that have just gone on, changes that have gone on, and the predictions are that this is a time in which a lot of our society's structures will come apart, and they really are. So there's a humongous loneliness in people when that which they perceive is safe and secure, that which gives them confidence, is no longer effective. And again, it drops us back into Ramana Maharshi's favorite mantra. Ramana Maharshi, for those of you who don't know, is a wonderful guru, absolutely loving. And his route to evolution was always the route of self-inquiry. Who am I? That was one of his favorite mantras. Who am I? Who am I? Who am I? And when I was looking up loneliness on the web, just to sort of bump up some of the stuff that I might talk about today, they referred me back to Ramana Maharshi's collected works, which I have sitting by my chair all the time, and that his antidote for loneliness was, in truth, finding out who you really are. And it's really interesting because he was talking as I flipped the book open, which is more how I read it than just sitting cover to cover. I flipped it open, and as he's talking about how when you're doing inquiry, you find that, for example, if you're lonely and you're doing this self-inquiry, who am I, 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 you detach from the thoughts, so many thoughts that are running through our heads that are telling us who we are, right? You start to move through them, cascading thoughts in many cases, the hubbub of thoughts. You move through them, you move through them, you move through them, you move through them to get into that deeper consciousness. Like, who am I? And who are you? And one of the things I talk about is my loneliness implies my drive, because the only time it really goes away is when I am in attunement with that which I came to do. And I've mentioned before, Aravinda is someone that I study with right now, the wonderful, wonderful meditating fellow who works with the lineage of the Ascended Masters. And he always talks about who am I as well. He talks about the who am I being. When you connect to your higher self, your inner self and your higher self are moving in sync all the time, then your I, the I that you are, and it's a different way of saying what Maharshi says, the I that you are is then this bigger, more still presentation, and then you're really embodying who you are. And then the loneliness is a whole different thing. I don't think it's even there, actually. But then we're going to talk about more of that, and we're going to talk about you and what it is you're dealing with, what kind of emotions you're dealing with, what kind of loneliness you feel, or just what's up in your world. But before that, we're going to go into the structures, and we're going to create a safe place in which we can enhance our consciousness, we can unfold, we can heal, we can laugh, we can play. Are you ready? It's a meditation, but it can be a lot of fun. That's the other thing. I get really lonely when I'm not having much fun. And that must be why a lot of the gurus and so on giggle a lot. Remember Maharishi Mahesh Yogi? He used to crack up laughing all the time. All right, guys, let's go. Let's all start doing our structures. Are you ready? Okay. Okay, let's imagine in the galactic center of your choice or where your higher self leads you. And we're going to drop a crystalline tube from the galactic center and bring it right down in through the top of your head and through your spine and into the core of the earth. Good work. Now, above your head, 2 to 4 miles, you choose a golden ball, and the golden ball is so brilliant, and you know it's got the high-frequency gold metals in it. And then below your spine, about 40 feet, another golden ball, and draw a filament of light that's absolutely radiant from the upper golden ball down through your spine, through the crystalline tube that's come from the galactic center, all the way down through your spine, into the lower golden ball. Now from the upper golden ball down to your waist, drop a four-sided pyramid, and perhaps the points of the pyramid are front, back, side to side, and maybe they're about 20 feet out, or they can be as far out or as far in as you want. Remember, this is magic. We can create it our own way. And put a golden ball on every point. And now an upside down pyramid. Four-sided pyramid. That's it. And the upside-down point pokes into the lower ball. So you have an octahedron, an eight-sided structure. And inside of that structure, a crystal ball, and have the edges of the ball touch the inside edges of your structure. Now what happens in the crystal ball? Do you feel differently? I sure do. And now inside of that, we're going to use a star tetrahedron. Yeah. And a star tetrahedron is like a Star of David, only it's three-dimensional. Good. And now spin and spin and spin your star tetrahedron. And as you spin and spin, look at that blank screen in front of you. This is our magical screen, and on the screen we're going to place movies in which we star. We're going to be feeling and experiencing ourselves and others in this movie. The first one is just about you. I always want to be more multidimensional. It's working. What do you want? Something about you. Good. And now beside that, we're going to do a little movie of something you want to create. Maybe it's a book. I don't know what it is. It's an office. It's a relationship. It's a peanut butter sandwich. Just get creating. And you can see yourself in the creation, experiencing its wisdom and wit. And now let's call in the Galactic Healing Center and the Galactic Healing Room with our galactic team. Have the team come in and place themselves around the healing table or chair. And you've got to spend a few minutes and lay on the table yourself and ask for some healing on something that you want. What happens? What do you experience? Oh my, I could just drift off. I feel like I'm getting some great help here. Now, if you're not complete, you can ask them to continue. Now, remember, this is magical. We can do it any way we want. So we can ask them to continue working on me. But then let's bring in someone else. This is a concurrent reality. Let's bring in someone else and have them lay on the table. Somebody that you know needs help. Some kind of help. Mental, physical, emotional, spiritual. I don't know how your being gets helped, but mine is having some very interesting energetic things done. And also, my guides lately have taken to pulling things out of a person's brain, like dark patches, and could be just the dust from past experience. I don't have to ask. And then ask them to continue with the healing of that person. As you bring in one more. Excellent job. And let's play at this one, just one more round. Ask yourself to experience, while you're on the magical screen, to experience some form of loneliness that you have. We all have some, even though I was reading on the internet that you're not supposed to. You're supposed to just get over it. And I'm like, okay, I think we can mine it for more wisdom than that. So let's bring in some form of loneliness you have. And let's ask to be shown whilst we're up there on the screen, either by our healing team or not, just to be shown what is the root of that loneliness and what is the value of the loneliness. Huh, that's really interesting. So what happened? I hope that you're going to call in and tell me what happened. I like to end the structure with a political, a little bit of a political kind of thing. We keep hearing that there's there are a lot of huge, huge illuminations going on our planet, where we've been deceived or betrayed, or where there are systems that are enslaving people and so on. We're hearing a great deal about that these days, and a lot of it's showing up so we know what we're dealing with. So let's each of us design some kind of a political envisionment here. Perhaps it might be support for Obama, or perhaps it's just the light, the pink light, the light of harmony and evolution that comes from your chest that we send to the Pentagon and to the White House and to all of our political structures, and then that we send it like an amazingly electronic ribbon to various hot spots in the world. Mm-hmm. Iraq, Afghanistan. Yeah, and over to catch various members of the Taliban. Mm-hmm. And to eradicate the enslavement of individuals all over the world, soothing, supporting. Good. Now we're going to surround the whole world with this pink light. And knowing that we've got extraterrestrials that are waiting to show up. I know they're here already, but some are going to show up, I hear, be a little bit more vivid and a little bit more easy to see. Let's just surround the world with pink light, covering even the polar bears and various other characters who belong on this planet as well, so much so that the feelings of harmony are seen and known by extraterrestrials. Yeah. And remember this as we come back out of the structure. Change the energy, change the reality. When you go in there and really be with these various presentations, you really can impact reality. So let's come back into the star tetrahedron and spin and spin and spin and spin. Yeah, and then step back into our reality here today. Mm-hmm. It's funny because I think loneliness, I was just thinking about whether loneliness and love are in opposition, but they're not really, are they? Except that it seems that when beings are really deeply lonely, it's very hard for them to feel the presence of love. Now, you could say maybe they don't attract it. It would be really interesting to talk about this with you. So once you call in, here are the numbers. In the U.S., it's 877-876-5227, 877-876-5227. You can call in and talk about anything going on in your life, but I'm looking for loneliness as well. I'm not looking for loneliness. I'm looking for ways of dealing with it, of understanding it, of using it as a mine rather than as something that is debilitating for people. If you're in Canada, the number is 888-810-8322, 888-810-8322. And the direct line is 530-876-3222, 530-876-3222. So I hope you're going to call in and talk about life as you've seen it. Now, how was your holiday? The holidays are a terrific time to feel lonely. And usually that has a lot to do with not just who you are, but the collective memory. The number of really amazing experiences that have gone on and been absolutely punctuated by the time of year. So you get people who are, for example, single or maybe freshly single, or people have had a death or, again, lost their house and all of this in the collapses. And then up comes the holiday and there's all this incredible racket about bye, 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 be here, and, you know, pulls you in. And somewhere deep down in our body, mind, there's the memory of having belonged, or there's the memory of never having belonged. And that loneliness can really tug on people at this time of year. How was your holiday? Mine was pretty good. It was pretty rambunctious this year, but I think it was pretty good. But I must admit that I do feel that kind of ache of memory of times past. All right, so now I'm thinking of the number of ways that I've used loneliness in the past, and how have you used loneliness? I've used loneliness because, for example, the other day when all of the family left after being here for a few days, I felt kind of rattled, and partly because, you know, when you're not used to all being in the same house and everybody's got all this emotional stuff going on, and it's great, but a lot of us who are empaths start running everybody else's energy, and it's really hard to stay separate from it. So when they left, this is an interesting kind of loneliness. I felt this incredible kind of change in myself, and then, like, I wasn't really there, or I was lost, and I went, oh, you know what that is? That's just having so much energy around and coming in and out of your body, and then when it's gone, it's like somebody pulled a part of you away. So that was very interesting for me. And then the next thing I did was also I dropped inside to ask myself, and I found that once I cleared that energy, which I did by doing energy work and also by doing a physical workout, which for me is kind of a wild, chaotic dance, then I started to feel more myself. And then it wasn't until, and the loneliness was very deep, but it wasn't until I had done all that clearing, and then I went inside and did a meditation. It wasn't until I did the meditation and then became, I did the structures, and then I became involved with personal transformation, which is I could feel, like when I do the structures, I could feel the healing and the cleansing that was going on with my guides and angels in the healing room, and then seeing these different geometric structures pop up over my prone, my lying down body on that healing table. It was really amazing. But it wasn't until I got through all of that process did my loneliness go away. Or did it go away or did it get answered? So my smile to myself is, oh, loneliness is really a call in a way. I feel like it's a call, and it gets answered by our doing our art, our communications. I don't think it gets answered by other people necessarily. I can't really say that. It might be in your destiny. It might be in your soul's journey to be a communicator, in which case, in some ways, it does get answered by other people. But it has to come from your deep inner self to kind of make sense to the soul's call, if that makes sense. And when it comes to being lonely because you've just lost your partner, or your children have just left home, or your dog died, your faithful servant, I haven't had a dog till recently, and I know what it's like to be constantly shadowed by this wonderful, fluffy little character. And so imagine people who are suddenly alone after having a dog or a cat with them all the time would go through an incredible loneliness. There's another thing about our soul's journey. Now, call in, you guys. I hope I'm not going to hear, oh, goody. Because sometimes at the end of the show, people say, nobody would take my call. So here I am. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. This is Ann. Hi.
Hi, Ann. How are you?
Post-Christmas merry. Oh, wow.
Are you merry, though?
Well, I am in on one sort of intellectual level, and you're going to hear me kind of repress a cough. What I didn't realize is...
You didn't repress it too well.
Yeah, not really. It's still with me. And I think that it does express something somatically. If anything, it's frustration that goes with that sense of, oh, but if this is family time, and say one doesn't have any family around, and you're single, which I am, then it feels pretty lonely unless you're part of some sort of strong social group or whatever affiliations you're into.
I agree with you entirely. I just want to say something that I'm seeing in your body.
Okay.
Is that, do you remember when I was talking a few minutes ago about how Christmas time and a lot of it is about memory?
Yes.
When I look at your chest right now and your cough, I want to say that there's an echo. Can you hear an echo? Maybe it's just my
No, I...
But anyway, what I want to say is that there's a really deep fear about... it's like I'm frightened, not afraid, but I'm frightened, you know, like much more skitterish about who I am and why I am like this when I'm small.
Ah, interesting. Yeah.
So there's something about the holiday that brought that up in you. I think it comes from family.
Sure. Sure. How about this on an external level? I will just meditate. I will take that in. It doesn't, that has some resonance. But on the outward life, I have a number of people I hear from because they were kind of stuck at home, either in the Northwest or people I've known a long time. And they're very rigid and Christian, and they're very angry right now. And to be honest, it got even worse for me emotionally, hearing from several people that wanted to make contact. Because everything I support and am thrilled about, like, say, Obama or the types of different energies that are coming in, they can't stand. And it was very depressing to me. It's like, who are these people? And therefore, it's my reaction, my emotional reaction to them. And it was like, gee, I'd like to have more of a sense of... Here they are. This is who they are, and that's, but I got to learn how to let go of that.
But you know what's interesting, Anne, is what we were just talking about. When you were little, you were confused and frightened because you couldn't figure out why maybe it wasn't safe in your home or something? There was
It was never Christmas after a certain point. There was my aunt and uncle when we would be at their home. That is the only time I remember Christmas. After that, it was chaotic for us. There were very few Christmases, and there was very much moving. And when older, like 10, 12, then we were in a house where at that point it was so depressing, but we didn't move. But there wasn't a lot of joy around Christmas. It was a deprived feeling at that point.
Well, I wanted to just throw this about the friends who are Christian.
Yeah.
But wasn't there a question in you when you were little about whether you were okay where you were or something, like about whether they could appreciate who you were and who were you?
Huh.
Did you ever ask who you were inside?
You know, that's interesting. I would say yes and no, but there was sort of a mother figure who was a very ardent Catholic who would take me off to her Catholic church, and I remember feeling very beloved and warm, and the ritual and the sounds and the smells were wonderful, and they were rich, you know what I mean? And people were, it was happy. And then I would return, and then to be sort of secretive about that, because in my home, and later, no big detail, but I remember my father found out about this and became just enraged. And we'll just leave it at that. So back to that feeling of, well, you know, gosh, because I was pretty open to this very loving woman, Mrs. B, I'll call her, and she really sort of were with the spirits in many ways when I think back.
But it's funny because if that thing about, for example, when the people call you and talk about their Christian thing and you feel alienated.
I do.
I keep seeing that there's a relationship between that and when you were small.
Small.
And what you thought you were interested in, but you were alienated from people around you. And I think you've had a version of that your whole life.
Ah. Wow. Wow. Wowzy. So did...
Almost like spiraling through.
Wow. Okay.
What do you think of that?
No. No, I think there's something to this. I really do. I
have put a knot in your chest.
Yeah. Well, because I think how could there be such a polarity in our, I mean, it's out there. I mean, you mentioned the different things won't go in, you know, I mean, from the political to have harmony. I mean, all I can think of is Hamas in Israel right now, which is really very frightening. And so when you said, let's send them some pink light, you know, if you say that to certain people that have respect or you've known a long time, they look at you, you know, with that look. Whereas if you're sitting and sitting with people and meditating and there is this feeling, to, as you said, to stop the brain from all this words, and you get into this peaceful place, then is the time to send out that energy. Am I making sense?
Yes, and the job is always the same, isn't it? Is getting into that centered place.
Absolutely.
And I feel this about you, is that you have done that to a degree off and on your whole life, and that seems to be the route you're going to need to get that tranquility in the middle of this diversified craziness around us,
right,
including your friends, you know?
Right, right.
Because it's sort of interesting, isn't it?
It is. It's totally, to me, it's almost mind-boggling. As I thought, as growing older, there would be a softening. And in some people, there is. And what I'm finding is I have to watch myself and not worry too much about others, like my own sense of clenchedness. So that I want to go back to your theme about the loneliness, that it's a peculiar kind of loneliness. It's a a sense of, wow, I truly believe in these energy levels that are happening. I blah, blah, blah. You know, I feel them. You feel them. And mm-hmm. so maybe it just doesn't matter. I keep saying to myself, why do I get so reactive? And then I think, maybe that's it, that I have to feel like I'm acting sometimes with these people. Because they're not interested in my opinion. That's pretty sure. And if I were to even mention a website with, like, Linda Sherman that you've had on and
right.
the economy, because they're very anxious about that and who the heck isn't. But, oh, my God, that's the work of the devil. I mean, I literally had two women I've known for 35 years, and my jaw dropped open because these are very wise women that have adult children. They have grandchildren. But, yeah.
But you know, it's funny because you just said it. That you just said something interesting, which was that people are really worked up about, for example, the economy. And Linda Sherman, whose newsletter is soothsayer.com with
right.
an E as sooth, I want to say it's wonderful. But the women that you're talking about who are wise are also scared, right?
Yeah,
so when
very
we're
much.
Scared,
right.
we grab onto what we think is going to stabilize a ship, right?
Right.
So it's not a good time to have those.
Try to introduce something. Just
yeah,
to,
what you want to introduce is your centered peace.
Yeah, well
right?
said. No, that's like what you do, actually, on this show, which I think is very calming for me on a personal level. So
thank you so
yeah.
much.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I loved your call. It was
thank
call
you.
Was very rich.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Anne.
Happy New Year.
Happy
bye-bye.
New Year to you, my
okay.
friend.
Bye-bye.
Now, that's interesting because Anne was courageous enough to reveal her loneliness in specific contexts. But what we could see is that, like, it pivots around some of the deeper issues of her childhood and the alienation she experienced, or maybe alienation is too strong a word, but I'll use that anyway because, you know, you can get alienated as a kid because what you really are, you're not seeing reflected back at you, and that can really make you feel goofy. The other thing the guides were talking about with childhood is very often, and they were very clear about both Bob and I being born with a very intense kind of a loneliness, which was a drive to have to push us. You know, like a yearning, a drive, an ache to push us, each of us separately and together, to do transformative, creative work on the planet. And you have your version of that, too. I'm not missing that either. But one of the things that happens when we have abuse of any kind, and, you know, we come from an abusive society, so which of us in our 60s or 50s don't have abuse in the history? Okay, so the guides are saying that if you have abuse, what happens is thanks for your call. I'll be with you in just a moment. It pushes down over, if you look at this flow of loneliness driving through, which is a soul theme, and the abuse kind of sits on top of it and things go into a boil or a turmoil or become kind of putrefied underneath. It starts getting very convoluted and very confusing. And then there's a lot of shame that comes in as well. And who knows where that comes from? That could take a whole long series of talks to talk about the sources of shame. So we're dealing with trying to mine a drive of loneliness, which might keep you isolated to a degree. Trying to mine it to find out what it actually wants from you is one way to look at it. Anyway, thank you for your call. You're on the air. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
And to you.
You know, I was kind of wishing my resolution was to get to my divinity and feel it.
Oh, good.
To really, really feel it. I wonder what you have to say about that. And what I find is just lots and lots of memories are coming up, and I'm like, oh, good, I can clear that. Oh, good, I can clear that. Right?
And are you able to clear them?
I think I am. That's what I'm asking for, some validation of these things I think I'm doing are really happening.
Well, now, one time when I mentioned your name, you said you were trying to be more discreet, so I'm not using your name.
I noticed that, and I appreciate it.
This is a magical friend who's called before, so some of you will recognize her. And it's funny, when I look at you, I see, you know, everybody sees differently, right? And what I see is this, like, it kind of looks like a top. You know how a top is? It's kind of wide at the bottom and narrow at the top. And it's not shaped like a human. We're talking about an energy form. And inside of it, let's spin it, and inside of it, I see all this stuff moving and changing in you, and your light is beginning to grow up from a deeper level. So I would say to you, you're doing an incredibly good job. What do you think of that?
Okay. So the memories coming up, I mean, they have to come up just a glimpse of them in order to clear them.
I don't know if they always do, but certainly your intention to keep moving things through is required. Whether you have to experience them all, it doesn't matter, does it?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering, because they surely are drifting up like bubbles, you know, from the spot, from the cauldron.
Are you using a meditation?
Not something specific, just kind of that intention floating around, and I'm in kind of ritual a lot during the day, you know, with candles and the directions and that kind of thing.
Good work, girl.
Happens, and I'm just noticing a lot of memories, and I just go, oh, good, I can clear you. And then I have this, like, being that has this big red ring, and the red energy comes and just burns it off me.
Well, I just want to say that you're doing a great job. And
really
what
happens.
I also want to say is you're moving a ton of energy that's coming from the red chakra, which means to me you don't have to know what it is. You've got subconscious and preconscious stuff moving up and through. So you're in a very intense transformative time.
Feels like it.
Do you like it?
I'm getting a little overwhelmed and, like, verging on depression the last few days. I was really high and really great, and now I'm, like, losing that little sparky, happity-happity feeling.
I think that's because what's coming up is, blessedly speaking, your deeper subconscious material. And so if you can remember that and just keep calling it up, I would use sounds. Do you use sounds?
No, but I could.
I would, because it seems like you want to pull sound through your base, the base of your spine, and just pull it up and transform this stuff.
Okay.
And I think you're going to be over the worst part of it. You're going to be over by tomorrow afternoon, I'd say.
Oh, hallelujah, because it was just starting to get to me. You know, I've been really happy and high for months now, and so this low dip, running back to where I used to live, is now it feels low.
Yeah, it's just the depth that you're reaching at this time.
Good.
You know, I used to think it was so strange, but that whatever you bring up eclipses what you know as it runs through your mind.
Whatever you bring up eclipses, which means takes over where you are now for a minute, you mean. Like the old, like, fear and stuff can... Okay.
Yeah, and you'll go, crap, I thought I dealt with this, you know?
Exactly.
But the bottom line is it's moving on through.
Okay, that's all I need to hear.
And sometimes, honey, it takes a little longer than a minute. Like it might take a couple of hours, half a day, you know?
Yeah, it's been a couple of days, and I've been noticing getting kind of harder and harder to maintain my happy.
Yeah, well, drink a lot of water. Are you doing that?
I kind of cut back on water. I'll get back to water.
Yep, because you're just washing it out.
Okay.
Well, so happy New Year, my friend.
Happy New Year. Thank you.
Many blessings.
Bye-bye.
So here's the deal, is that because of her call, I'm reminded of what I was saying before, which was, when the abuse comes in and tamps down a soul's, if you see it in, like, real energy terms, blocks of stuff. So you got this wonderful light thing coming through. It's called loneliness, and it's coming along with your creative drives, and it's coming along with this and that, and it's wiggling its way up through the center of your being. And then in comes the abuse, and that claps it down with some anvil-like weight, and then we kind of lose where we're going. And underneath that, everything gets trapped, and it starts moving around, and it's no longer clear. It's no longer clear. And then we find that through discomfort, some people get sick, some people get crazy, some people just keep doing crazy experiences in their life, the wrong relationships, drugs and alcohol, whatever it is we've all done in order to cover up the confusion, the deep undying loss of self, which keeps going on and on. Okay, so that's where we lose the ability to mind the direction. And we'll talk about this after. Oh, just before I take your call, I just want to say with the last caller, I want to say that how she looked energetically was it was very, very wide at the bottom. She looked like a Christmas tree, but it wasn't a Christmas tree. It was a shape of energy. And at the very bottom, this stuff that was confused under the abuse is rising and trying to move on out. And as it does, it covers the brain and the perceptions and so on, and so you think you're back in that place, but it really is moving on through. So she's doing a great job because she's moving the deepest subconscious stuff, and that's what we want. Then we can get into the great gifts of our loneliness. Good afternoon, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Veronica. This is Noella from Canada, first time calling to you.
Oh, great. Hi. I'm so glad you called.
Yeah, very interesting topic because I know what you're talking about, the abusive childhood and the loneliness, because we have that too. I'm in my 50s, so like you say, I think every one of us went through this. And this year went well at Christmas. I sort of stepped back from it and just was fascinated by watching everybody, which was, and I didn't feel lonely. I felt like part of it, but not part of it, which was, it's more heart-centered, you know, just pouring out love. And one of them was grumpy, you know, he said, don't you walk into that house with that attitude. And then she switched.
That's great.
That's funny. Because usually, well, there's 7 kids in my family, so that's a
big... You mean you've got 6 siblings or that you have 7 children?
6 siblings. No, 6
oh,
siblings.
My.
No, I only have one on my own. Thank God.
That's enough, boy. We have so much karma, huh?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And do you have a question?
I was just wondering how I'm working on centering my heart, and I just wondered if you saw the energy in there or if it's working like that lady says. Sometimes, you know, you're working on it, but there's no confirmation.
You know what's interesting about you is that you have done a tremendous, tremendous amount of work. I can see it. And there's another part of sludge. I'll call it sludge. It's kind of a leftover. It's like a fog that comes up and out, you know, in the clearing process. And it's coming up through the belly, and it's going to go across the heart chakra for a short period of time. But I would say don't buy into that as being the truth. It's not.
Okay.
And you're very, very open-hearted, and you've got a big light coming up in your heart. Do you do counseling work? Because I believe that you, whatever the work is you're doing, is suddenly going to awaken and be much more evolved, and you will be really proud of yourself.
Oh, okay. No, I don't do counseling. Everybody tells me I need counseling.
Well, you know what? We all need counseling, honey.
No, they think I'm, you know, I don't talk about self, soul-searching and all that, because I'm sort of the oddball one, you know? Is there like,
at your work, you mean?
Actually, I'm retired now, but I do some work part-time, but it's just like handiwork stuff. Nothing on that level.
I would be surprised if you called me in a year and said you weren't doing some kind of counseling stuff.
Really?
Yeah, well, because your heart, you're opening your heart, and you're going to awaken an aspect of yourself.
Oh, wonderful. Well, I do like helping people and reaching out, so that's always been part of it. But I never considered it as a job, you know?
Well, Noella, I think you're going to be taking some kind of a healing course.
Oh, okay.
And I want to say, in answer to your first question, is that you're doing really good work with your heart. And do not let yourself be stymied if it feels like you got foggy, because it's just that stuff passing, you see?
Okay, wonderful.
And
yeah,
because
sometimes you feel like you're so, like, full of love, and then sometimes it's just sort of like, I'm stuck, you know, like that. But
well, and you said it
interesting.
Yeah.
Sorry?
And stuck usually means things are moving through slowly, right?
Yeah, I'm an impatient soul.
Well, do you live in the east of Canada or the west?
Yeah, the east, just north of Toronto, near Montreal.
Okay, because what I'm
seeing
is
Ottawa, the capital.
Oh, right on. There's a course, some sort of a healing course, because of some people that you don't know very well, but you're going to be pulled into that course, and I want you to go for it because you'll love it.
Okay, wonderful.
And it will it's going to awaken something in you.
Oh, that's good. I've been waiting. I mean, I've had experiences and things, but, you know, a lot of people do, and you're going, well, what's it all about? You know, what am I supposed to do here with it? So I'm
but you
still
know what?
Searching.
My belief is that a lot of the wake-up happens to us and through us. Our job is to keep clearing. My guides say 95% of the job is clearing, and then you're receptive, and your soul starts to pump on through, and you suddenly attract people that seem to know things. Not because you tried to, but because you're cleared.
Yeah, because I'm selling my house. My daughter's moved to Toronto for university, and it's like I'm on a threshold of something. I'm freeing up a lot of stuff, you know?
Well, you go, girl. You're going to have fun. Huh?
Yeah, great. Well, I love your show. I sent you and Jackie a little email for ET Healing.
Wonderful.
I don't know. Yeah, I love that show, too. They're both so wonderful.
Well, I'm
you
so
guys,
pleased that you called
Oh, you helped
in.
A lot. Believe me, I think listening to you and just BBS is wonderful. It's really
it is, isn't
up.
It? Well, thank you for your call.
Oh, you're welcome, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Noella.
Okay, right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, that was a fellow Canadian. Now, I don't know if we have time for one more caller, but what I'm going to do right now is tell you about next week's show. Paradigm Shifter today is going to be Swami Beyondananda, actually Steve Behrman. This was a show that we ran on October the 28th, and I'm rerunning it partly because Bob suggested that, but I do listen to him periodically, not every time. But I'm running this show again because it was so politically astute. He hardly ever did get into Swami Beyondananda in that show. He was talking with such insight about the world situation. So we decided it was worthy of running at the end of the year like this. And next week on Paradigm Shifter, we're going to run Randy Masters is going to be on. And Randy Masters has been on twice before talking about healing through music. He's an amazing musician, and his art of sacred geometrics is really stunning. So please tune in next Tuesday at 5 o'clock West Coast time for Randy Masters and his wonderful, I think his website, look, you can Google Randy Masters, spelled like it sounds, but his, I think it's Universal Song? Resonant Living, that's right, resonantliving.com. So you can check out his stuff before we get close to next week. And Thursday night I'm going to be on with Jackie Salvitti on ET Healing. Noella mentioned it. She gave us a little plug. And I'm going to be interviewing Jackie and the team on what's coming up in the new year. Oh, my gosh, that will be January the 1st, 2009. Can you believe it? As my stepdaughter says, 2009. She said, I'm going to create this year. Let's all do some really strong intentions for the world and for ourselves as the systems break down. My guides are really clear. They've been showing me for a long time that the economic system is breaking down, but there are these amazing new things happening all over the world, and we don't necessarily hear about them. They don't come up in the news, but as we've heard over and over again, sustainability, peace, coming to life from love, not from fear, energy, alternative energy things. What else? Oh, entrepreneurial, creative doodah. This is how we're going to get through this stuff, ladies and gentlemen. And it's going to be through helping each other, through loving each other, through being more community conscious than ever before. And I gather some of the financial stuff that's coming up is going to be very community aware as well, not so much the megalithic banking system and the corporate ripoffs that we've been experiencing. A lot of that's going to be illuminated as well. Oh, my, we've got some amazing stuff going on. But I want to say, reminding you of some of the callers, that we need to drop into center, be very strong, do our meditation, whether your meditation is active or passive or breathing or visualization or just a deep mantra meditation. It doesn't matter. You want to be centered because we are vibrational vehicles of light. And we can't be those if we don't drop in. Drop off the dross of past experience, which has created so much resistance and weight in us, and really let our light come out into the world and support one another. So I want to say I love doing these shows, and I want to send out love and blessings to all of you. Thank you so much for listening to the show. If you'd like a session with me, you'd like to give feedback on the shows, suggest a guest or two, Veronica at Veronica Entwistle, no H in Entwistle, Veronica at VeronicaEntwistle.com or 510-595-5564. And I just want to say many blessings and much love to all of you. Take some and pass it on. See you next week.